Happy Thanksgiving. I love you guys. I really do. It's so good to be with you here in this room and to worship the Lord with you and to just give thanks and praise to his name. So I wanted to start by asking you to say a few phrases with me. If you could just say these phrases or these words, say always.
Always.
Always. Without ceasing.
In all circumstances.
That was pretty good. So always, without ceasing, in all circumstances. Yeah. So we run into these words, these phrases, actually, at the end of 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bibles, and you should always have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And as Paul is winding down his thoughts in this letter, he starts speaking to the Thessalonian Christians, and he starts talking to them about the things that they should be doing, some of the activities that they need to be performing. And so he's naming these things, and he's listing these things, and he begins in verse 12 of chapter 5, and I'm just going to kind of summarize these things. But he begins by saying that we need to honor and have regard and esteem for those who are over us in the Lord, for pastors and elders. And we need to esteem those who work in the Lord, those who admonish us. And I should stop right here and say I am so thankful for Pastor Les and the elders of this church. Amen. I'm so thankful for their leadership and thankful for the way that they are over us and the way they lead us. Okay. And so he begins there, and then in rapid fire, starting at the end of verse 13, he kind of just rattles off some things that they need to be about. Okay, so he says, be at peace with one another. Be at peace with one another. He says, admonish the unruly. Admonish the unruly. Bring those back who are kind of getting a little bit off center or a little bit out of the way. And we need to bring those people back. And that's not just the job, by the way, of the pastors and the elders. That's the job of all of us if we're here in this church. We bring people back in line. And then he goes on. He says, encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak and be patient with everyone. He says, don't repay anybody evil for evil, but rather seek to do good to everybody, inside and outside the church. And so he gives them these things. And I think of this as good, like, horizontal work. This is what's to be going on this way, interpersonally, between us here in this room. This is a family show, right? This is a family Thanksgiving meal together, or meal over this. But these are the things that we need to be about at Faith Bible Fellowship. That is what Paul would say if he were here. He'd say, these are the things that we need to be about horizontally. And by the way, some of those things, you know, go against our flesh. All of them do, really. honoring our leaders that admonish us. We don't like being admonished sometimes. We're funny about being corrected or cautioned or those kinds of things. We're funny about being patient with people and helping the weak. That takes a lot of work and effort. And if we try to do those things in our flesh, what's going to happen? We're going to burn out. It's not going to go well. We need the Spirit of the Lord to be in us to get this good horizontal work done. And so that's how he starts. But then he turns his attention to the vertical. What's supposed to be going on vertically as we're doing all this good, hard, horizontal work? What is my attitude and our attitudes towards the Lord in all of this? What kinds of things are we doing toward him? And there we get to our three phrases. Do you remember what they are? Always, without ceasing, and in all circumstances, right? Always, without ceasing, in all circumstances. Look at verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. These are the things. These are the things that we're supposed to be doing this way as we're doing all of the other things that we get busy doing the other way. We need to be doing these things. And these are the things that if we know Paul at all, we would expect him to be saying these kinds of things. Rejoice always. Now, if I say that to you, what letter do you think of? What epistle do you think of? Philippians, right? Immediately, when I say rejoice always, Rejoice always. And Pastor was talking about the greatest love portion of Scripture in all the Bible being in 1 John chapter 4. Obviously, I think the greatest book about rejoicing is really Philippians. And Paul, he knew something about rejoicing always. He rejoiced always. We see it in his life and in his writings. He said in Philippians 1, we see, he says, in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. He says it again in chapter 2. He says it again in chapter 3. And of course, then in chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And so Paul knew what it was to rejoice always. And we know that Paul led a pretty rough Christian existence, didn't he? Paul had a pretty rough time. When he got converted to the Lord, guess what the church did? Kind of ran away from him. Some of them. They were like, I'm not going anywhere near that guy. This is the guy that was locking people up. This is the guy that was arresting people and sentencing them to death. Like, I don't want anything to do with him. And then as his faith persisted and he began to preach and he kept preaching, then he got hunted. He got persecuted. He got stoned. He got imprisoned. He got beaten. All of these things. And he's in prison when he writes to us and to the Philippians. And then he says again to the Thessalonians later, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And so that's the first thing. The second thing he says is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Pray incessantly. Pray without intermission or interruption. Don't ever stop praying. And Paul knew something about that, didn't he? He knew something about that. And we see him in the Colossians. He's saying, you know, I gave thanks to my God always for you. And I'm sorry. He said, I always thank God for you in the Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you. From the day that he heard of their faith, he never ceased to pray for them. And what was he doing in the jail cell with Silas? He was praying and singing hymns. Right? He was praying and singing hymns. And so we see him praying. We see him writing about prayer, but he knew something about that. He knew something about that. And then finally he says, rejoice always. I'm sorry, he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks. I'm nervous. Why am I nervous? Let me just calm down for a second. All right, here we go. But he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Right? And I got to thinking about that because he adds that phrase, in all circumstances, after he says that. And so I started to look into the Thessalonians' circumstances. Why would he say that unless there were some circumstances? Well, it turns out the Thessalonians have been through a few things. They've been through a few things. We read in the beginning of this letter in 1:6, he says they received the preaching of Paul in much affliction. And after suffering in Philippi, Paul and his companions, they came into the Thessalonians and they preached the gospel to them, but it says they preached in the midst of much conflict in chapter 2. And when the Thessalonians, they received the gospel, they received it for what it was. It was the word of God. And they gave their heart to the Lord, and they received, from God, they received salvation. They received forgiveness for their sins. But from men, they received persecution. That's what they got. They got persecution. If you turn over to chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2:14 says, for you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out and displeased God and all who oppose all mankind. And so they knew firsthand what it was to suffer. They knew firsthand what it was to be in the midst of affliction. And we know that those things continued for them because even in Thessalonians 2, when Paul starts to write to them, he commends them for standing firm through the midst of the affliction. It was still going on one letter later. But there they were. And he says, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Why? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it was the will of God for them. That's why. It was the Lord's will for them. Do this because it's God's will for you to do it. It's almost like, do this. It's almost like, do this because I said so. Almost. Or do this because God says so. Sounds a little bit like that if you leave out the words that I left out. But this is why you should have your Bibles. Do you have your Bibles? Because I left words out. Look at verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God. Say those words with me. In Christ Jesus. Oh, a little louder. In Christ Jesus. Yeah. Those are really important words. And those are the words that I want to focus on for the rest of the time here. We've got to get those words in our minds. They needed to get those words into their minds in the midst of these circumstances. And listen to me, if you're a born-again Christian Christ follower this evening in 2020, Thanksgiving Eve, those are important words for you to remember in Christ Jesus. It isn't just because God says so, although that's enough. If God says so, we do it, right? There is that. And he doesn't need to give us anything else. But he puts these things here in Christ Jesus. If you're having a little trouble getting in the Thanksgiving Eve spirit in 2020, if you find yourself having trouble, you can get those words in your mind in Christ Jesus and mull them over and think about them and really meditate on those. And if you've allowed pandemics and politics and race relations and stress and poverty and my family split up and we're doing Zoom Thanksgiving and all of these other things, or maybe I'm alone on Thanksgiving, stuff starts to weigh in our minds. Stuff starts to get in our face. We start maybe to get a little tempted to get a little ungrateful. We need to think in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. What I've done is I have just kind of strung together some scriptures about in Christ Jesus, and I just want to read these to you, okay? If you're concerned this evening about your eternal destiny, for instance, if you're concerned about your salvation, if you're concerned or worried about your standing before Almighty God, those are critical words for you in Christ Jesus. Because if we're in Christ Jesus, if you're in Christ Jesus, listen to these words. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, even the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all those who believe, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're worried about your salvation, if you don't know where you stand with the Lord, you need to be in Christ Jesus. You need to be in Christ Jesus. But if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. There is redemption. There's justification. And all of the other things that can start to crowd into our minds start to fade into the background if we're in Christ Jesus. Are you concerned about the state of our country? Are you concerned about the state of the world? Things are spinning out of control. Maybe you're shaken. Maybe you're a little rattled. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Will distress? Will persecution? Will famine? Will nakedness? Will peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We're safe and sound in him. We're safe and sound in Christ Jesus. We may experience hardship. We may. We absolutely might. I was talking to somebody about that just a little bit ago. We're going to go through some things. We might go through cancer. We might go through COVID. We might go through economic ridiculousness. We might go through struggles in our family and us not getting along and all of these things. We might experience hardship. We might have to deal with tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and peril and sword. But I tell you what, none of those things are ever going to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And I know on Thanksgiving, we often think about the physical blessings, the physical things, and we have this cornucopia down here, and that's a wonderful symbol of the bountiful blessings that our Heavenly Father pours out on us. And we know that everything that comes to us is from Him. All the good gifts are from our Father. Amen? Amen. But what about the spiritual blessings? The spiritual blessings. If we can just open our minds to the spiritual blessings of God that are ours in Christ Jesus. And last Sunday, Pastor, he preached about that love. That love that we have because of God, His love for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that dictates and that gives us fuel for our horizontal relationships in Christ Jesus. And I want to read to you, and I've read a lot of scripture, but I don't feel bad for it actually at all. I'm going to read some Ephesians to you, because if that little passage in 1 John is the love section, the beginning of Ephesians, really all of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, talks about in Christ Jesus and the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Listen, we don't have anything to worry about in Christ Jesus. Listen to what is ours in Him. And I'm going to substitute in Christ Jesus for everywhere it talks about in Him. But it talks about in Him, in the Beloved, in Christ, in Him, over and over in these verses. Listen to this. Blessed, this is chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even as He chose us in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons, through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ Jesus, as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and on earth. In Christ Jesus we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things, every single thing, all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Christ Jesus you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Christ Jesus, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is, listen to this, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might, that He worked in Christ Jesus when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and power and authority and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He has put all things under His feet, and He gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And you, and me, were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, listen to that, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is everything. It's everything. And as we face this time, and I don't know where you're at. I'm actually, doing pretty well. But I know that there are people. I know that there are people who are sick. I know that there are people who are scared. I know that there are people who are stressed and depressed and anxious. I urge you to be in Christ Jesus. I urge all of us tomorrow when we're gathered around our tables to think about those words, in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because it is the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. In Christ Jesus. That's everything. If we don't have that, we don't have anything at all. And so we can praise. We sang about it. We sang about him. We sang about his death, his greatness, his resurrection. We sang about our life in him. And when we face death, like you were singing, we don't have anything to fear. We don't have to be afraid if we're in Christ Jesus. So two things. One, if you're not in Christ Jesus, if you're not in Christ Jesus, I would urge you, give your life to the Lord. Give your life to the Lord. Surrender to him. And you don't even have to understand it all. What you need to understand is you're an enemy of God. Outside of Christ Jesus, you're an enemy of him. You are. But in Christ Jesus, you are reconciled and justified because he shed his blood on the cross for our sins, and Jesus, and God raised him from the dead for our salvation. Number one. Number two, when we're tempted, and I'm tempted, to be kind of downhearted, be kind of grouchy, to let all this stuff get in, we've got a Heavenly Father who has placed us in Christ Jesus, and we're seated right now with him in the heavenly places. And nothing is ever going to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus. And for that, we can give thanks. For that, we can give thanks. Amen. I want to close with what my text was for last year, actually, in Colossians. And it just goes with what I was saying. In Colossians chapter 3, the first verse says, "If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds that are on things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And then coming down to verse 15 of chapter 3. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let's pray. Lord, I'm thankful. You have done what we could not do, what we could never do. You've made a way for us to be cleansed from our sin and to be at peace in the midst of circumstances that are anything but. Forgive me, Lord, for getting off track. Forgive me, Lord, for letting the circumstances that surround me dictate my thankfulness. Lord, I'm thankful that there are no COVID restrictions in Christ Jesus. There's no fear or doubt or anxiety in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for Christ Jesus. Thank you for your cross. Thank you for your resurrection. Thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.